Okay, good afternoon. I'll be talking today about STD prevention education and services in a nationally representative sample of schools in the U.S. More than 95% of children and adolescents in the United States attend school, and schools have direct contact with this population for about 6 hours per day for 13 years of students' development. Because students spend so much time in school, schools can play a critical role in preventing sexually transmitted infections among young people. Little is known, however, about the STD-related health education and services available in schools on a national level. The purpose of this study, therefore, was to describe the extent to which schools in the U.S. offer STD prevention education and services to students. We also looked at the professional development that teachers and school staff are receiving related to STD prevention. Turning now to our methods, we used data from CDC's School Health Policies and Practices Study, or SHPS. SHPS is a national survey that CDC conducts periodically to assess school health policies and practices at multiple levels. The school and classroom level data, which was most recently collected in 2014, are what I'll be presenting today. So here you see SHPS is a very comprehensive study that assesses policies and practices in all 10 components of school health. Today I'll be focusing on results from the areas that are highlighted in yellow, health education and health services. This slide describes the sampling used for SHPS 2014. We drew a nationally representative sample of schools, both public and private. These were elementary, middle, and high schools, so those serving students in grades K through 12. Within the sampled schools, we drew nationally representative samples of required health education and physical education classes or courses. Once a sampled school agreed to participate, we asked our school contact to identify the most knowledgeable respondent for each questionnaire. We then sent data collectors to each school to conduct face-to-face, computer-assisted personal interviews on netbook computers. In some instances, we were not able to conduct these interviews face-to-face, and you can see here the percentage of questionnaires that were completed on paper. Here you see the response rates for the components of the study I'll be focusing on today. Okay, turning now to our results. This first slide shows the percentage of schools at each level in which students are required to receive instruction on HIV prevention, human sexuality, other STD prevention, and pregnancy prevention. I include these other topics on this and the other slides that I'm going to present because they're obviously related to STD prevention. Not surprisingly, these numbers increase as students move from elementary school to middle school to high school. One of the great things about SHPS is that we are able to assess trends over time as we've been studying, conducting the study for quite a long time. Unfortunately, however, the trends are not always moving in the direction that we'd like to see. So what you see here is there's been a significant decrease in the percentage of schools requiring instruction on HIV prevention, that's the blue line, human sexuality, that's the red line, and other STD prevention, the green line, and this is across all school levels combined. Turning back to the 2014 data, among elementary school classes and middle and high school courses teaching HIV prevention, human sexuality, other STD prevention, and pregnancy prevention, here we see the mean number of hours teachers were spending on each topic. As you can see, the number of hours also increases by school level. But the most time spent on any topic was an average of only 6.2 hours on human sexuality. And remember, this is only among high school courses in which this topic was taught. We also asked teachers about whether they were teaching specific topics related to sexual health. What you see here is just a sample of a much longer list of topics that we asked about. You can see again this increase in the percentage of schools teaching each of these topics as students move from elementary school to middle school to high school. But you'll also notice that even in high school, teaching about how to use condoms, which is in that bottom row, is not very common at all. I don't don't know how to update my virus protection right now. All right. So, there are several topics that are being taught with less frequency to students in required courses. So here you see decreases in the percentage teaching about risks associated with multiple sexual partners, that's the blue line, and influence of the media on sexual behavior, that's the red line. We were also very interested in whether parents were opting their children out of this required education. So as you can see, most schools notify parents or guardians before students receive instruction on topics related to human sexuality. We also see that in more than a quarter of classes and courses, at least one student was excused from attending by a parent's request. On average, we found that although notification and exemption was more common in elementary schools than in secondary schools, in those classes or courses where students were excused, about two students per elementary school class were excused, between six and seven students in middle school courses, and between three and four students in high school courses. It's also important to look at whether teachers are receiving professional development on teaching these topics. Unfortunately, we see here that even at the high school level, only about one-third of teachers have received professional development on these topics during the 2 years before the study. Worse, the percentage of teachers across all levels receiving professional development on HIV prevention has decreased significantly since 2000. I'm really trying to get rid of this. Sorry. The red X. I don't think so. Nope. Says nothing. If I hit escape, it's going to go out to the main menu, so I'm not going to do that. Okay. So, we're turning now to health services results. We see here the percentage of middle schools in blue and high schools in red that provided various services to students. So less than one in five high schools provide identification, treatment of, or referrals for STDs, that's the first set of bars. Only about 7% of high schools make condoms available. 11% make other contraceptives available. In contrast, what those last set of bars show is 35% of high schools offer services for gay, lesbian, or bisexual students. The numbers look a little bit more promising when we look at the percentage providing prevention services in one-on-one or small group settings. They look similar for HIV prevention, pregnancy prevention, and that third set of bars is STD prevention. Here we see trends over time. So the good news here is that we've seen significant increases since 2000 in the percentage of schools providing services for gay, lesbian, and bisexual students, that's the green line, and HIV counseling, testing, and referral, that's the darker blue line. But during this same time period, we've seen significant decreases in the percentage of schools offering all three prevention services, HIV, STD, and pregnancy prevention. So the preceding slides all focused on services provided to students at school. Schools can also help students access services by having arrangements with providers that are not on school property to provide these services to students. You can see here that this practice is not particularly prevalent in middle schools or high schools. So not even a third of schools have these sorts of arrangements for any of the services that you see here: contraceptives, identification or treatment of STDs, or prevention services for HIV, pregnancy, or STDs. That's what those last three sets of bars show. We also looked at the professional development of school health services coordinators, who are usually school nurses. You can see here that there's been a significant decrease since 2000 in the percentage of these coordinators receiving professional development during the 2 years before the study on HIV prevention, that's the blue line, HIV counseling, testing, and referral, the red line, and STD prevention, the green line. Okay, so I've presented a lot of data. Here are some key take-home points I just want to share. First, most middle schools and high schools require health education to prevent HIV, STD, and pregnancy, but the percentage doing so has declined since 2000, and the content is far from being comprehensive. Second, in terms of health services, those related to HIV, STD, and pregnancy prevention are not prevalent, which really represents a missed opportunity. Third, professional development for teachers and health services staff on these topics has declined since 2000. And finally, services for gay, lesbian, and bisexual students have increased, but still shows room for improvement. I want to point out just a couple of limitations to SHIPS. First, it's limited in its ability to provide data on the quality of policies and practices measured. Respondents were only asked to report whether certain practices were in place. We have no way of knowing whether what's in place represents best practices. Finally, as with other self-report data, over and under reporting is possible, and respondents may not have all the knowledge necessary to report accurately. A final note, I just really have only scratched the surface today of all of the data that we have available. I encourage you all to visit our website, and I've put the URL here. You can download a copy of our comprehensive report, as well as a number of fact sheets that we've prepared. And you can also download the data sets and documentation to do your own analyses. Thanks.
Hi, I just had a quick question. The number of hours of instruction for sex education, HIV, can they mark more than one? Can it be inclusive? Like sex ed includes HIV and STD, so
yeah,
it's not necessarily the...
Right, so you could add those numbers together. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Right, so we ask them separately for HIV, STD, pregnancy, and human sexuality, how many hours they've spent.
Hi, thank you for that presentation. Is there a portion of this data set or something allied to it to track new policy initiatives to rectify some of the problems that the data are showing?
So this particular data set only has school-level data. In previous iterations of SHIPS, we have collected information on district policies and state policies. So in any given year, if you go way back, we used to be able to link the school and district and state and district policy data to the school level data. We're not able to do that anymore, but you can look at it temporally. So for example, you can look at whether district policies in 2012 could be associated with school level practices.
But you could also then see what the new initiatives are, what people are doing in other jurisdictions.
Right. The other thing that you're able to do with this data set that's really neat is if you have access to other state policy databases, the schools that are in the school level data set can be linked. We have the codes that can show you what state they come from, and you can link and you can compare schools with certain policies to schools that are in states with certain policies to schools that are in states without those policies.
Thank you.
Sure. All right. I'm getting the hook. Ha ha ha.